2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So if you'd like to read, just put up your hand and I'll give you the mic. And as usual, you know, I like to go around, get you participating. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Sister.
All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives.
See? All scripture. How many?
All.
How many?
All. All.
You know that some people, they only want to read only one part of their Bible. Yeah? Read your Bible. They just go to Galatians. No. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Faith is the substance of things. Of, actually, they don't go there. They go to John 3:16. You know John 3:16? What does John 3:16 say? Oh, God, so Lord, I said, my Lord loves me. And all the wonder I see, they are so happy. A rainbow shines through my window, my love. The next day, read your Bible, John 3:16. But Bible says, they say, all. Can we together? All scripture is what? Is inspired. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Please, Starunge, continue.
Do you want me to read 17?
No, just, have you finished 16?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll read it again, just for emphasis. 2 Timothy 3:16, that's what we are reading, if you just walked in. It said, yes, please, Sister Runke, read verse 17.
Okay. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Amen. Now let's have it from King James or New King James. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Don't worry, we'll get to you.
All scripture, ladies first, is given by inspiration of God.
All scripture is given by the inspiration of
God.
Yes?
And it's profitable. It's profitable.
For what?
Doctrine.
But I want to master this. The first thing that scripture has to do in your life, if you're going to be established in the faith and move forward, is what? Doctrine. You need to be established in good doctrine. Yes?
For reproof.
For what?
Reproof.
I keep trying to tell people, I said, anytime you come to church and anytime you listen to a sermon, there's only one goal of that sermon, to change you. You understand? The word of God is never there to pat your back and pop it, is to change you. Yeah? Because the way it happens is that when you are changing, you are growing. That's how it is. Standard. Anytime you will grow spiritually, something must give way. Are you with me? If nothing is giving way in your life, you are certainly not growing. Continue.
For correction.
This is how we grow. This is how God does his chisel work in our lives. Yeah? Through the scripture, establish us in doctrine. The word of God reproves us. It corrects us. Just like you would do to a baby. Yeah? Have you ever noticed that if you are ever going to bring up a child well, there is something you cannot bypass? Sister Nika, what is it? You want to bring up a child well from babyhood and you want to train them well. What is that activity that you can never avoid doing if you are ever going to bring them up well? The answer is in 2 Timothy 3:16. In fact, she just read it. Yeah?
Reprove, correction.
You have to. Yeah? Lisa, do you agree? You just cannot avoid it. It doesn't matter how nice you are. It doesn't matter how patient you are. Crystal, do you agree with me? If you're going to bring up a child well, you're never going to be able to avoid correcting them. Yeah? You agree? Yeah. If a child was left to their own, they would turn out bad. And so God, as our Father, if we are ever going to grow spiritually, his word must reprove and correct us from time to time. That's how we grow. Do you understand? Now, if the word of God is not reproving and correcting you, yeah, you may be in church, you may take a nice seat, you know, put on a nice suit, have a nice smile, but you are not growing. 5 years, you can be seated in the church and not grow. Because the word of God is not doing its job. Are you with me? Let's continue. Let's read. Let's finish that and then we'll move into the main message. Go on.
For instruction in righteousness.
For instruction. The word of God reproves you. In fact, have you noticed what we are reading? That all those words are just going in one direction. All scripture is given by God. What are the main jobs of scripture? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. We summarize them. We're talking about the word of God is there to train you. Amen? Say to yourself, say the word of God
is there
to train me. Hallelujah. Yes. Please continue.
That the man of God may be perfect.
Can you see now? You see now the goal. When you have been trained by the word of God, yeah, you know what you become? You become a man and a woman of God. You start off as a child of God. You're still a child of God in the sense that God is your father. But as you grow spiritually, you become someone that God can depend on to do his will. Because you have gone through the process of being trained by the word of God. Amen? Yes, please finish it.
Thoroughly furnished. Unto all good works.
Unto all good works. So if you are going to produce good works, yeah, in your life, or let me say it another way, if you are ever going to make the most of your life, you have to pay attention to the word of God. And you know what about this? What I always say is that whether you pay attention to the word of God or not, your life is ticking. Hallelujah. There's something you cannot recover. Time ticks forward. There's nothing like going back in time. I know you might have watched it on TV. Time travel. Not yet in this world, okay? In the new world, yes. But now, yeah? When time has ticked, it has what? Ticked. You know? There was a time you were crawling. Yeah? There was a time you were riding bicycles about. I don't know if you did it. I remember when I tried to, you know, ride bicycle the first time. Without stabilizer, I got it and then crashed. Tried again, got in and crashed. But eventually, I mastered it. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're ever going to grow spiritually, you have to allow the word of God to train you. Which means that the word of God must so be allowed to make you adjust your life. The word of God will never adjust to you. That's why it is written. You are to adjust your life into a pattern with the word. That's how you are trained and that's how you grow. And there is no training process ever that was pleasant. Are you with me? Say that again. Okay, let me say it this way. There's no genuine training process ever that was pleasant. You know why? Because the goal of all training is to change you. And because you have to change, it's not pleasant. Because change is never pleasant when you are being trained. But when you start reaping the result, aha, then it's pleasant. Hallelujah. I remember when I was training, you know, taking my driving lessons. It was not pleasant. It was not pleasant because I already knew how to drive. But I knew how to drive the wrong way. You know, I've driven for more than 10 years. And as I came to UK, I had to take driving lessons. It was not what? Pleasant. I did my driving test 3 times. Each time, I kept just failing by one fault. Hallelujah. But that process, I still carry with me today. I remember. When I'm driving, I remember. Yeah? And I tell myself, I don't want any situation that will make me go back to that process. It was not pleasant. But today, I'm enjoying the benefit of having been trained by. And you cannot be trained if you don't give yourself to the training. You see what I mean? Now, before we go into the word today, let me just explain to you. Sometimes you may have the opinion that, you know, when I come here to preach, I'm just saying my opinion. You are making a big mistake. I have a mandate from God. Yeah? And I will answer to God. So when I teach, it's not because I love you that I teach or because I hate you. I'm talking of human love. Yeah? Of course I love you with the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. But my love for you, because it's so genuine, I have to teach you the truth. You understand? I know sometimes that the truth may not be palatable. It may not be, you know, it may not make you always smile. Do you understand? But if I genuinely love you, I have to speak the truth in love. Because the heart I have is a heart of a shepherd. I'm not here to just give you a lecture or something. I'm here to feed you. Because my passion is that you will grow. I want to see you next year and know that, yes, you have grown spiritually. Hallelujah. That's my interest. That's my interest. And when I come to teach or preach, I am giving you exactly what God wants me to give you. I don't even have the permission to say whatever I like. I say what God has given me to tell you. Hallelujah. Now, it's your responsibility to decide what you want to do with what God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. So, you need to be careful, you know, how you receive the word of God. Hallelujah. If you receive the word of God like, okay, Pastor, I just said his own, you are making a big mistake. You have to open your heart and let the Spirit of God speak to you. That is the only guarantee that your life will move in the right directions. You know, when I was growing up, I read a book. The title was Living Without Regret. If you want to live without regret, you have to pay attention to the word of God. Otherwise, you are guaranteed to have regret. Let me just explain that again. If you want to live without regret, the way you can do that is pay attention to the word of God. He said, my son, give attention to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let's go there and then we'll go into the message. Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter. Where am I looking for? Where are my normal helpers? Is it 4 or 3? Yes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Let's have that from New King James or King James. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. And we just read that. 10. And. Is that what I want? Is that what I want? Proverbs chapter 4 is this. Verse 20. Verse 20. Proverbs 4, 20. And let's just read verse 20 to 22. Now God is speaking to you. Would you like to read? Anyone can. But I want it from King James or New King James. Okay, sister? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Yes, please.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying.
Who is to do it? God or you? It's your job. Yes?
Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
Hallelujah. Okay, I just noticed that someone's face is getting too serious. So give somebody a smile, okay? The world is not about to end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see what he's saying there? It's a secret. Don't see it from the negative point. See it from the positive point. He's saying that if you give attention to his words and you incline your head to his saying, and you don't let it depart from your attention, but you continue to meditate on it and give yourself over to it, what will happen to you is that it is life to those who find them. You can be in church, listen to the word of God, and not still receive the life. You got to find it by opening up to it. When you open up yourself to the word of God and let it begin to change something in your life, you have found it. Hallelujah. And it is health to all their flesh. You see, the master secret of living in divine health, yeah, is to walk in the word. Hallelujah. Because when the word of God dominates you completely, sickness cannot stay. Hallelujah. So you see, that's the benefit. That's the benefit of the word of God. So we are not just preaching for preaching's sake. This is life. C'est la vie. French. This is for real. It's life. And if you really want the fullness of life, there is no bypassing the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, now go to Psalm 139. Let's do a quick one now. As we're going to go into this message, present your body, part 3. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. Okay, let's have someone else read. Someone who has not read today. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. Sister Frida, are you there? Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. I chose you. Yes. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, please.
You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
Amen. Now let's take that from King James or New King James. Psalm 139. Yes, Samuel, we come back because it was on the queue. Verse 13 and 14.
For thou art possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb.
You covered me in my mother's womb. So God has been tracking your life, even from the womb. Yes?
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully
and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, I. Mention your name, whatever your name. Ben. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Not evolution. You see, you don't understand. If you evolved, you are a product of disaster. And your life is disaster. It has no meaning. Because evolution is what? Disaster. Evolution is a product of accident. What's another name for accident? Disaster. Say to yourself, say, I'm not a product of disaster. I'm made fearfully and wonderfully by God. And whatever part of my life is broken, God, who made me, has the ability to fix me. You know, I wanted to say fix it, but just fix it. To fix me. Hallelujah. So my first question for the day, what does it mean to say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Let's have like 2-3 answers. When the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, what does that mean to you? Yes. Sister Pamela. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean to you?
It means that you are created with a plan, so you just wasn't made. There's a specific structure.
I like that. It means that you are created with a plan. Yes, let's have another answer. What does the Bible mean when it says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Yes? Sister Kemi.
It means to me that you are not a product of accident.
You are not what?
You are not accidentally made.
You are not a product of accident. You are not accidentally made. You are not a life without a purpose. Yes. Hallelujah.
Knitted together.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, let me translate that scripture you just read to you in modern language. You know, he said, you carefully knitted me together in my womb. You know what it means in modern language? God has a record of every cell in your body. He knows every part of your DNA. It was recorded. Hallelujah. You know, I said last week, I said at the rapture, whether those that have died or those that are living, even they have been cremated or fish, you know, has eaten them, God will reform the whole body because he has every record of every cell and every DNA. The only difference is that it will give you a perfect body that can never die again. Amen. It's blessed hope, something to look forward to. When you're going through a difficult time, remember that there's a time is coming where there will be no more because you believe in Jesus. It doesn't belong to everybody. It doesn't belong to everybody. Not everybody will be part of the first resurrection. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection to life and there's a resurrection to damnation. But for those who truly believe in Jesus, say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live again. Hallelujah. That's talking about your physical body being changed. Then that said, he who believes in me will never die. That means that's talking about spiritual. Once you have received the spiritual life and you remain in him. If you remain in, because the life is where? In him. If you remain in him, you are guaranteed that you will never perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something to look forward to. God has a record of your DNA. He has a record of every part of your body. You are not a product of chance. You are not a product of accident. God created you with a plan. Now, that doesn't mean you will fulfill that plan, by the way. But He made a plan for your life. And I want to tell you, announce something to you. God's plan for your life is the best, is the height of all your achievement or fulfillment. Anything you achieve that is not God's plan is a waste of your life. Because the plan is what defines you. Say, just say, the plan defines me. I need to know the plan and walk in it. Hallelujah. Let's take one more answer. What does it mean to say when the Bible says that you are fearfully and you have not eaten my perfect answer? All those answers are in the right direction and they are very good. Excellent. What does it mean to say that when the Bible says, actually, all the answers are right. I'm just looking for mine. Yes? What does it mean? Bible means to say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Now, take that statement and move it from your spirit and your soul into your body. Because the topic is what? Present your body. So when God is telling you that your body, look at your body, look at your body, look. Okay, there's no mirror. Use your smartphone. Look at your body, okay? Look at your body. Now, God says your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. Your body. What does that mean to you when the Bible tells you that?
Well, it means due diligence, precision, skill.
Hallelujah. Let me change the question. When you hear that, what should be your attitude towards your body? When you hear or know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, this body that God gave you, what should be your attitude towards your body?
A lot of care and preserve, yeah, preserve it.
Care? Look after it, yes?
Yes, you have to preserve the body.
Preserve it? Any other?
We're made in God's image. He's made all this in His image. So the body, mind, and soul should be preserved.
Yes. Okay, one more. Oh, two more. Yes?
It's to nurture it well.
Nurture well. I like that word, nurture.
Glorify God with your body.
Glorify God with your body. That's 1 Corinthians 6:20. Okay, just read my answer. You've given me the answers I want anyway. So when I read and the Bible tells me I'm faithful and wonderfully made and I think about my body, it means that I should appreciate my body. And I should treat it with godly respect. Let me say that again. When I understand that I am faithfully and wonderfully made, it means that I should appreciate my body. My body is part of my spirituality. Don't make the mistake. Your body is part of what? Your spirituality. And I'm to appreciate my body. And I must treat my body with godly respect. Or like Brother Toby said, I must glorify God with my body. Hallelujah. Because the body is the house that you live in. If the house is dirty and stinking, yeah, so will you. Are you with me? So what happens in your body matters a lot to what happens in your spirit. Hallelujah. When the devil has access to your body, he has made an inroad into your life. I am to appreciate my body. And I'm to treat it with godly respect. Say to someone, say godly respect. Amen. Now, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Let's quickly look at that. And then I'll give you some questions. Because this is a teaching. That's why I like teaching rather than preaching. When I teach, I go down to her and I'll give you real practical questions so that you can now understand the topic of what it means to treat your body with godly respect. Is it to preach that and everybody goes home and say, yeah, what do you learn today? I learned that you treat my body with godliness, but you may not know how it applies. We need to apply it. So Romans 12, 1 to 2 first. Yes, let's have Romans 12, 1 to 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. So we have Pastor Jimmy now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
You present your body as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God because that is your reasonable service. If you're reading that from New Living, it says that is your true worship. Another amplifier says that's your spiritual act of worship. The way you present your body is your spiritual act of worship to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, verse 2.
And do not be conformed.
Don't be conformed to this world. Let me tell you something. That definitely implies that you cannot afford to present your body in the same way that the world presents its body. Otherwise, we should tear that scripture from the Bible and bin it. The moment you are a believer, the way you present your body must be different from the way the world presents their bodies. That's why I say, don't be conformed to what? This world. Do you know why? Because there's a spirit in the world driving the way the world does things. And as a believer, if you're going to live like the world will mess up your Christian life. Are you with me? Now, when you begin to take the right steps in presenting your body, you have already saved yourself a lot of trouble. There are some troubles that will never come your way in life if you present your body the right way. They will just never come. You're already excluded. Hallelujah. But when you stay in the zone of the world, you'll be facing unnecessary inroads for Satan. Yeah, please finish.
But be transformed by the
renewing
of your mind.
Then
that you may prove what is
you will be able to prove
good,
what is good
and
acceptable
and perfect will of God.
Hallelujah. You know, if I wanted to read this, I'll make you understand that the way you present your body determines your ability to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And just for emphasis, the will of God is one. It is good. It is. There's no like good will of God, acceptable will of God, perfect will of God. No. The will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, we may not always walk in the will of God. And God being merciful, he will always try to direct us back to his will. Amen? The fact that you did something wrong, and according to the mercy of God, everything turned out right does not justify what you did wrong. Are you with me? Yeah? It's the mercy of God. However, God doesn't want you to live on the lowest level of grace called mercy. I explained to you, mercy is the lowest level of grace. People who live on mercy, they don't grow spiritually. They are always going before God every day and say, God, just forgive me. You know, I messed up yesterday. God will forgive them. Next day, I messed up yesterday. God will forgive. And now, yes, I got until they are 100 years old. And they never made anything of their life because they lived on the lowest step of grace called mercy. Hallelujah. He said we should come boldly to the throne of God that we may obtain mercy. That's the entry point. But there's something deeper than mercy that you need. The fullness of grace. What grace does in your life is to empower you to do the will of God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to live in a level whereby you're always fumbling and wobbling. Yeah. And asking God to forgive you. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. None of us will make it without mercy. Are you with me? Pastor Ben will not make it without mercy. We all need mercy. But don't build a tent there. Are you with me? Because God has greater things in store for your life. Hallelujah. And you can understand why I preach the way I preach. Because I don't want you to continue on the level of mercy. 5 years. You are making the same mistakes in different forms and shapes. That is not God's plan for your life. God wants you to rise and begin to walk in his will. Of course, you cannot do that without his grace. Hallelujah. You cannot do that without what? His grace. But you know one of the ways that God's grace comes to your life? It's not just by praying for it. I know you say, God, give me grace. It's good. Keep praying. It's good. Good prayer. Okay? You keep praying for what? Grace. But if you really mean business with grace, begin to open up your life to the world. That is the source of grace. Hallelujah. When the word of God now begins to dominate your life, it will empower you to do what you can never do in your power. Hallelujah. That's the secret. Hallelujah. You know what David said? He understood the secret. He said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin. So that means that before he was struggling with the sin, then after a while, he understood that if I can just take this word and meditate on it and give full attention to it and begin to practice it, I will find the power not to sin anymore. Hallelujah. That is God's perfect will for your life. Hallelujah. That is God's perfect will for your life. And it is doable. Not by your power, but through the power of grace that is released in the word. Hallelujah. And that's why it's important for you to listen to the word of God. And that's why it's important for me to preach to you every part of the word of God. Because I find that anything I'm not preaching, you will not have faith for it. When the church stops preaching about hell, people start doubting that maybe there's no hell. God is too loving. He cannot send anybody to hell. But Jesus, if you look at Matthew, he spoke about hell more than any other thing in Matthew. But if you don't preach it, people will still believe it. Hallelujah. If you don't preach about sexual immorality, people will commit sin and they will think it's okay because they didn't have the faith to live. Because basically, when the word of God comes to you, it empowers you to live above that thing. But when you stop hearing it, the temptation becomes stronger. Are you with me? It's important that we teach the truth. Not to pull anybody down. That's not my business. I'm not in that business at all. It's to empower you. Say to yourself, I'm being empowered by the word of God. Hallelujah. You see, we are all broken in different aspects of our lives. So anybody who will be a true member of this church is broken in one place or the other. That's why God has brought you. If you are perfect, I don't want you in the church. You will cause trouble for me. And I've seen enough trouble in my life. Are you with me? But the reason why you're here and the reason why this church exists is this church is there to do what? To equip you to live what? Victory. That means there's something broken already. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't know you are broken in that part, it's a big problem. Because you can't even receive what God wants to give you. Hallelujah. But my job is not to pull you down. My job is to help you up. Hallelujah. I said my job is not to pull anybody down. There's a lot of downness in the world already. Are you with me? My job is to help you fulfill your destiny. To help you know your value. And to help you fulfill your destiny. That's my job. And so when the Bible says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, it means my life has a value that is defined by God. And I cannot afford to just go through life and live like somebody who is going nowhere. Hallelujah. It means that my body has value. And I must appreciate that body and treat it with godly respect. Say to your neighbor, say godly respect. Hallelujah. So let's ask some questions now. Let's look at this body. You understand why I'm asking this question? Let's start with skin color. Hallelujah. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Pardon my question, but there's a reason why I'm asking. So you can see. I want you to see. You know, he said, I once was blind, but now I do what? I see. So my question is this. Which skin color is the best? Is it white? Or brown? Or black. Of course, I've done some tricks there. If you ask the ladies, you know, in their powder, you know, the ladies' powder, it's not just three colors. Am I right? How many colors do you have? Yeah, as you go to Max or what do you call it? Right? Yes, and you want to buy face color. How many colors will they offer you to choose from?
I don't know.
No idea. Anybody can help me. Please educate us men. You know, we don't know about this business. All we know about is the money. Yes? How many?
There's loads.
Loads, like, give me an estimate. 100, 50, 10, 1,000, 500,
2, 3?
Just a guess.
Depends what shop you go to.
Okay, fine. The one you go to.
That only gives you about 6 or 7 different shades.
7 or 7. Do you agree 6 or 7? Yeah. I remember once my mom... He sent me from Nigeria to buy her face powder. Big problem. 50. In fact, 50 is a good guess, I think. Probably more. So let's just ask that the question quickly because of time. I mean, which skin color is the best? If you had the choice to go back to heaven, what skin color will you ask God to give you? Yes, let's have it. Come on, let's try something. Yes. Brown, okay. So he's telling you that brown is his best, yeah?
Darker.
Darker. I will send you to Ghana. And South Sudan. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Which, if you were to come back again, what color would you prefer?
It depends on where you are coming to.
Yes, like you.
If I'm going to Africa, I will choose black.
Okay.
Or brown.
Yes.
If what I'm coming here
to Europe,
it's gonna be white.
Yeah. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Any other person? Yes, Christopher. And then we'll move on to another question.
I'd be tanned.
Tanned.
I'm very white.
Like
Victoria
Beckham. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, this is what I want to say. In so long, your skin color is not a health problem. Because some people have skin health problem. In so long, your skin color is not a health problem. It's something that is healthy, given to you by God. Yeah? I want to tell you something. That is the best skin color for you. Hallelujah. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there is no need to make any attempt to change it. Because when you try, it's like you're slapping God. What do you mean? Hallelujah. Now, remember, you can have a tan. That's okay. Hallelujah. But do not do anything destructive to your skin. Because you want to look more beautiful. Are you with me? Because what are you? Fearfully and wonderfully made. You should see God in your skin. Hallelujah. That's your identity. You should never be ashamed of that identity. Because who stamped you with it? God. Means that God has validated that skin color for you. Any other person can have any skin color, but the one you have is the best. Don't destroy your skin. Are you with me? That's how to treat your body with godly respect. Okay, let's move to another one. Are you still with me? Let's find another. Three questions. I'll just break it down. Okay. Which one should I go for? I have three. Let me see. Okay. Which gender is the best? So obviously, as far as I know in the Bible, there are only two genders, male and female. But now in this world, again, if we find a list, I'm sure we'll reach like five or six now. The world is upside down. That's why I have to preach the way I preach. We are living in dangerous times. You may not see it, but I see it, so I don't have any excuse from God not to preach what I see. Because I will answer to God. You see, if you make it, yeah, if you make it at judgment seat and you've succeeded, you've borne fruit, and you are being rewarded, yeah, all you can do is just thank God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Ben. But if I didn't teach you, I will have to answer. Are you with me? So I don't, if you like, criticize me, I will teach you the truth. I do not have any excuse and no apology. Except if I'm not teaching you what God has told me to do, then I have cause for apology. Hallelujah. But if it's the truth, that's the only way I can love you. Hallelujah. And is that true that we set you free? So which gender is the best? Let's answer with some reasons. Any feminist in the house? Yes? Tell us which gender is the best and why. Okay, Samuel first.
I think male. I think women seem to go through a lot more in their body than males do. Yeah. I think males, because females tend to go through a lot more with their body. They tend to go through more cycles.
The body is too complicated, yeah?
Yeah, but the body does a lot.
Yes. Someone said, they drew two machines. The male machine is just one button. Press it. It's already working. Female machine, 30 buttons. If you don't, and they all have different combinations. If you press the right button, but in a different combination, you are in trouble. Yes? Let's have another answer. Which gender is the best?
I think it should be male, because God created Adams first.
Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Sister, which gender is the best?
I think both in the same category.
Okay, so you are being very diplomatic.
Yeah, because God created them both.
I know. You are being very. I just wish I had a record of all of the things you said in your life, so we can cross check. Yes. Now be very careful. Now I don't want to create a fight. Okay.
Me personally, as much as I love being a man, I prefer man. I think it's woman. The reason I say it's woman is because, in the Bible it says that God, man shouldn't be alone. But there's no part in the Bible that says woman. It's not good for women to be alone. So a man can't live without a woman. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we need, and also so as men, we always tend to be in a woman's side. Like children, they're more on their mom's side. Yeah. Everything is mom, women. So
I say women rule the world. Yeah. Okay, just point of correction. Man was alone. That's why he said it's not good for a man to be alone. When woman came, the man was there already. So that's why he didn't say It's not good for a woman to be alone. Although eventually she went alone and ate the fruit. Okay? Next.
Yeah, no, I was going to say women, because women obviously can reproduce, but really, it's equals, really, because a woman can't reproduce without the man.
Hallelujah.
So they should be equal, really.
Okay, let's finish on that question. I'll give you one more. Now, I'm asking this question because, you know, if you're someone there, you're having problems with your gender. You know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. No gender is better. Hallelujah. No gender is better. Let me explain to you. Although the Bible says the man was created before the woman, that's absolutely true. But the woman was in the man. Hallelujah. Because she was taken out from him. Hallelujah. So they were created together. Spirit. In spirit, they were created together. But in body. Yeah? Let me balance it. Someone said, the man was created from the dust. But the woman was created from the man. Yeah? So that's why women are more refined. Yeah? Are you with me? No gender is better. Hallelujah. Everyone should make the most of who God has made you. If God put you into a male body, yeah, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Make the most of that male body to glorify God. Be a man. If God has put you into a female body, yeah, don't resist it. Don't be angry. You know, maybe you grew up in a house where only the females did all the work and the male just played Xbox. Don't be angry. God put you in that body for a reason. It means that your destiny is tied to that body. Are you with me? The plan, you said about the plan? The plan is tied to that body. It means that you will never fulfill the plan if you don't make use of the body you are given. Again, I'm just saying, if there's no health defect, okay, there are imperfections. But you have a healthy body, you are given a healthy body, thank God for it. Hallelujah. Make the move. Don't fight. Thank God for it and make the most of it. Hallelujah. Finally, let's look at this one. And then after that, I'll begin to round up. The time has run out on me. Okay. Let's talk about, I want to talk about eye color, but there's no big deal about eye color. Most people don't do anything to their eyes, okay? Are you with me? You know, I talked about color. People try to do things to their skin color. I talked about body because people try to do things to their body, but the eye, you know, most people don't do anything to their eye.
It's funny you say about eyes. But I was looking on Facebook, and there was actually an eye color transplant. Wow. So literally, I thought, "What? You're changing color?" But they were actually putting like a permanent color lens. So they removed the outer layer and put like a colored contact lens, what it looked like underneath. So people can do that.
Amazing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So finally, which hair, am I saying it right? Hair. You know this one? Hair? Which hair type is the best? I'm going to help you with some examples. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble, yeah? So, just tell me, this is just a basic quiz. Which hair type is the best of all this? Brazilian, Indian, European, or African? And give me the reason. But Tommy is smiling, so let's try it. Let me tell you the truth or something. You will never forget me in your life. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you will know that this is a pastor who from his heart teaches you the truth. And the reason is not to pull you down. The reason is get you to see. When you can see, your life is moving forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, which air type is the best? But Toby, I don't know whether you are qualified. Well, actually, you are qualified. I'm not talking about air color. I know you have some mixture now of black and white. Actually, it's not white. It's gray. Yeah? Is it white or gray?
Silver.
She has a supporter there. He has a supporter. Okay. Which air type? Type.
Whichever one is easiest to comb.
Okay. The easiest to comb. Yeah. Yes. Christy should be able to give a good answer because you're handing two air types right now, or probably three. Yeah? So, which air type is the best? Just give me a genuine answer. Of course, we know the perfect answer, but let's have some genuine answers. Let's see how we think.
I really don't know. I think it's just personal what you think, isn't it? I'd say mixed hair is a bit tricky.
Yeah, so it's personal what you think. Yes? One more answer. Sister Nick.
I think all of them are
good. All of them are good. Yeah. The question I want to ask you, do you really think that? Or you're saying that to satisfy me?
No, I think all of them are good, so I could actually choose to.
Okay, good, good. You could choose to scrape your hair? All right. Okay, please. I want you to understand me. Don't confuse. Don't confuse. We can go through, depending on our current circumstances, we may have need to make some adjustments. I mean, we're living in a modern world. Do you understand? I mean, let me give an example. What example can I give? You know, I don't know the best examples to give. Okay, some people have two eyes, and some people need to put on contact lenses or glasses. You understand? And there's no condemnation. You with me? Depending on your current circumstances, you may need to make adjustments to your hair. And I'm not in a position to judge anybody on that. But I want to understand that if you're making an adjustment to your hair, you better have a good reason for it. Because it's a spiritual issue. It's not just physical. It's a spiritual issue. If you're making an adjustment to your hair because you feel that the air that God gave you is inferior, it's a sin. Big one. But if you're making an adjustment to your hair because, you know, of some other constraint, you know, like sometimes I talk to people and say, you know, I can't just go to the salon every day. Okay, that's some reason, yeah? Yeah? Or, you know, some people suffer hair loss, both male and female. It's not just female. They are male, you know. So let me just tell you, guys, I'll be in big trouble. I mean what? Big trouble. So let me just keep quiet. There are circumstances that may make you have to do stuff. You understand? Yeah? But your hair, whether it be European, African, is not inferior. And that means that if your hair is not inferior, you should be proud to wear it. Hallelujah. You should be what? Proud to wait. And you should be proud to say, thank you, Lord. Imagine you go to the mirror and say, Father, I just thank you for this hair you've given me. It's the best hair in the world. I know some people have never done that. You need to start doing it. Otherwise, if you're not doing it, it's a sin of ingratitude. Are you with me? Because you are fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. Because if you begin to lose your identity, you are lost. Are you with me? Are you getting me? Now, remember, there are exceptions to the rule. You understand? There are exceptions to the rule. You know, you may have constraints, but they must be valid. But if you are permanently hiding the head that God has given you, it's a problem to you. You need to fast and pray for revelation. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not joking. You think it's my opinion. I'm telling you the whole truth. Because it plays back into your sense of value and identity. Are you with me? There are a lot of little girls, young girls today, that they look in the mirror and they are very angry with themselves that God gave them the hair they find. You know why? Because that's what their parents exposed to them. So they're going to believe that my hair type is not good. That's a big slap on God. Let me stop there because I'm not looking for controversy. There's a lot of controversy in this world. So let's begin to round up. Time has run out, so I'll just stop there. So say to yourself, say, my God-given hair is not inferior. My God-given skin color is not inferior. My God-given gender is not inferior. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, we're going to take that one more time. But before that, let's just open to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Let's round up on that scripture. And we take a song. And then we round up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. We are rounding up there now. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. You see, these are not the type of conventional message you listen to. That's why you didn't know. You may not understand how this can feed back into your health. You don't know. There are some hair ties you may put on your head that carry spiritual problem. May the Lord deliver us from evil. But you know, something God taught me something. You know the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Our Father in heaven, yes. Hallowed be your name, yes. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, yes." What they say? Give us the and deliver and forgive us our sins, as forgive those who sin against us. Then, but I want to show you a revelation there. They are not on the same level. Lead us into temptation. It's a higher level than deliver us from evil. If you can not enter the temptation, it's better. It saves you a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of stress. Hallelujah. Don't always be in the zone of deliver me from evil. There are some times you can't help it. You will just find yourself there. Anybody can be in the zone of trouble. But there are some other times that you are the one that walks headlong into trouble. You dive inside. Like the blue whale. You just dive in. Hallelujah. I hope God is blessing someone. I'm not against you. I'm for you. After God, I'm for you. So let's just look at that. 2 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. Let's have one reading and we finish there. Yes. This is final one now. Final one.
Chapter 6.
Yes, 1 Corinthians 6. Actually, you know what? Let's all read it together from our various Bibles. You can read yours too. But let's just make that joyful noise. Read your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. Actually, let me so that we'll balance. Let's go. Okay, go. Read it. I said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? Yeah? He said, for you are not your own. Therefore, you have a responsibility to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which both belong to God. So let me give you a summary and we sing and we pray. So my summary, I've not covered some things, is this. This is my summary. If you want to write down. If you really, really, really want to understand that you're fearful and wonderfully made, there are some things you need to do. One, you should appreciate your originality. You're not a fake. Appreciate who God has made you to be. Hallelujah. Find contentment in your originality. Appreciate your natural qualities and use them in a way that honors God. Hallelujah. You may have a baritone voice like Brother Toby. Don't go complaining that your voice is not as treble as Sister Christus' voice. You know? Use your baritone to glorify God. Hallelujah. Try to minimize artificialism. Because it distracts you spiritually. It definitely does. Hallelujah. And finally, be grateful and be thankful. I would like every member of this church, you know, that's where I want the church to be, where you can wake up, when no one is looking at you, look at the mirror, you look at your skin color and say, "Sir, thank you for blessing me. My black skin." Oh my God, you can say white, that's fine. No problem. Hallelujah. God is the Father of all. He enjoys the diversity. I'd like you to be able to wake up in it and say, "Father, thank you for my female." But you look at it, when nobody's watching, look at this as much as you want, or male, and say, "Oh, yes, glory to God." Hallelujah. If your body needs some exercise, get some exercise. You understand what I mean? Yeah? Yeah? You know, sometimes, you know, a little exercise will make you like your body better. You look at your hair and say, "Father, thank you for this one. I don't want any other one ever again." Hallelujah. Even if you are having a hair problem, begin to use your faith and speak to your hair and say, "In the name of Jesus, I speak life to my hair." Kenneth Copeland did it. He lost hair and it grew back. Hallelujah. Till today he has it. Hallelujah. So, be grateful. Be thankful. Once you are grateful and thankful, you are on the pathway to living a purposeful life. When you are discontented and always seeking something to top up your body, Yeah, you are distracted spiritually. I'm guaranteeing you, you will also distract others. Amen. But that's not without judgment. If there are constraints, you know, there are some people, you know, that lost their leg in war and they have to use prosthetic legs. Who am I to preach to them that they should find their original leg? You understand what I say? If there are constraints, there are constraints, and I do not judge. You know? If possible, if it be possible, use what God has given you to glorify Him. God will be pleased with you, and you will have less trouble in your life. Amen. My life is not my own. Hallelujah. Actually, I wanted to sing Jesus at the center of it. From the beginning to the end, it will always be you, Jesus. Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world we do. Jesus, you are the center, and everything revolves around you. And from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Amen. Let's rise up.
Jesus, the center of
sing, just use that opportunity to pray and just thank God who has made you.
Jesus, the center of the earth.
From beginning to the end.
From beginning to the end.
It will always be, it's always been you.
It will always be, it's always been
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus. Nothing else matters.
Nothing in this world will do.
Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you are the center.
Everything revolves around you.
Everything revolves around you.
Only you.
Jesus, you.
From my heart to the heavens, oh Lord.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the center, Jesus be the center.
Just pray one prayer this morning. Actually, two prayers. I want you to repent for every way that you've not appreciated what God has given you. You know, it may not be your fault. It may be the fault of the worldly influence around you. Every way that you felt that, you know what, this is not good enough. I'm not good enough. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Father, I'm sorry for not